Hello and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Neil Potter, and in this show we're going to discuss how to find time for inspections. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comment box below. So how do we find time for inspections? Well, today we're going to go through six potential ideas you could use, or combinations of those ideas, to find time for inspections. Now, the first one we're going to discuss is using selection criteria. Now, in your project, you probably didn't allocate time for inspection at the beginning, and that's understandable. So you may have a situation where you have all the work you can do, and you always hit the deadline at the very last minute, and you just get the work complete, and then it's released, and you may have to go through a level of rework rounds and activity afterwards because it then is reviewed by the next phase downstream. So in a situation where you have critical deadlines, they don't move too often unless they're just delayed, and you have more work than you can do, and you haven't allocated time for inspection, how do you address that? So let's go through each of the six ways, and you will pick out things you could do or combinations that are useful to you, and just try them out and then refine those downstream. So the first one is what we discussed in the class, is using selection criteria. You're not going to be able to inspect everything you want to inspect, but you can look at the list of items you want to inspect and then prioritize. So we listed some criteria to help you do that. So we said list out all the artifacts, the elements of the project and sections and code areas, etc., whatever you have going on, and then flag them very quickly. It's not an over-analysis, but it's a quick flagging of the most critical to the project success. So if you had 15 things in your project, 15 either areas of functionality, or 15 documents, or 15 kind of unique sections of the project, you could probably pick out one or two that the most critical to how the success of the project will be evaluated at the end, either from a user standpoint or from a financial standpoint, etc. So all we're saying there is that you can boil down all what you want to inspect to a few things that you must inspect or would have the most value from if you did inspect. The second one we gave was the most used section of the product. For example, you're doing a document, maybe a user guide or a requirement spec or a piece of code or a test plan, and you could flag in that document the areas that are the most used, either most used by a user if it's code, by the next phase if they're going to read it and refer back to it, or maybe by the largest population. So maybe one section of your document has two users, two readers of it, and then another part has 100. So you may want to target the areas that have the biggest usage of it, because if you have defects in that large audience, then you're going to have more problems downstream than if you fix those now. So that is a way to prioritize where to go focus to begin with. We also discussed the most costly to you if defects were to exist, and or the most costly to the next phase or end user. So maybe if you're going to produce or manufacture a user guide, and you're going to have 1,000 copies made of that, obviously to have major defects in the source that goes to the manufacturer, that could be the most costly to you. If you have a feature in the system that's going to be used by an end user, and that had defects and problems in it, that could be the most costly to them for rework time, workaround time, getting back with you to discuss, you know, fixes and workarounds, etc. They could even make some major calculation errors in their work because of the defect in your work. The most error-prone section. You may have legacy artifacts, legacy code right now that you know is actually the most error-prone. It has the most issues, the most complaints, the most problems. It is the most biggest cause of annoyance in your team. So that could be an area to go focus on to begin with, because if you can save some defects in those areas, you could save the most time and money to you and to your company. So cleaning up existing work is the most error-prone. The least well-known section, that's where you have maybe a legacy person on the team that is no longer there, and you're not quite sure what they did, and so printing off their work and inspecting it would A, clean it up, and B, transfer knowledge to your team of what they have. And we discussed the most frequently changed. That the idea is that if a document or a piece of code has been changed on a regular basis, that's typically where people have not considered all the impacts of the change, and they could be in there defects that are lurking because people are not quite sure what the impacts would be if that code or user guide or document got used correctly. That could be a poorly thought out change request. So the second one is to use the current schedule time and plan to develop your document or code in two parts. So maybe you've allocated a month to build a document or a piece of code, and you have no time allocated right now to inspect. But what you could do is use the same time frame and break up the artifact or the work into two parts. Maybe the first third and the second two-thirds, or the first half and the second half. And the first half could be a summary, an overview, an approach, the first section you're going to develop out to get your get some experience in doing that particular kind of work. So maybe you have 14 requirements to go write down in a spec, and you pick out 7 of them, or 4 of them, and you're going to do that. And then after that point, you have an inspection. So insert an inspection after the first third or first half of the work, and then use that as a feedback loop to understand how you are now. Now, if you remember back to our earlier diagram in our class, we had an ideal path listed, where we had a project start and a project end. And I said at the end of a phase, if you get feedback on your work, you may be able to avoid going down the wrong path for too long a time and miss the target or goal altogether of the project. This is an example of where you take any one phase, for example, a user guide or a design document, and then you're breaking that up into maybe two parts, and then inserting an inspection early on to kind of get feedback on where you stand. Now, one of the things you can do with that inspection is firstly clean up the work you have built so far. Typically, a lot of lessons learned by doing that, which you can then apply to the remaining work, so you can speed up the remaining work by understanding better how the first part went. And also look for areas where you maybe can delete or remove work or de-scope it. Maybe you are having a requirements document built and you did inspect the first third or first half. And now, after inspecting that, you may be able to figure out that there are functionality you don't have to work on, or things that can be delayed, or maybe overlap areas where you can remove a section and nobody would miss anything in the document. So that early feedback check actually can help you de-scope or refine some of the work in the remaining phase, and at least you have the first half or first third inspected for defects. The third way is to use the current timeline allocated for building your document and code, and then plan to stop after 80%. So this is arbitrary. You assume you're going to have to build a requirement spec for 30 pages or a piece of code for 1,000 lines of code, and you've allocated time to do that. So what I would do here is arbitrarily take 80% of the schedule and the project's work, and then just stop at that point. And firstly, see if you can do the whole thing in 80%. Secondly, if you cannot, stop anyway and inspect what you have. So at least you have time allocated to clean up that work, and the remaining 20% or 15% left, you can complete the work also. So all we're doing here is assuming that the work you've defined out may not have to be as big as you think it is, but you don't know that until you get feedback on it and find defects and problems. So if you take a point in the schedule and just insert an inspection, that will be a way to firstly allocate time for it. But again, use that feedback to help refine what you've done at that point, and then also refine the remaining work. Number four, when you create estimates, before you go public with that and tell the world what time you can do work by, when you can be complete, you can add time in the end of this, in the end of that phase for inspection. So basically, manage expectations by making sure your estimates have the right amount of time allocated in them. Either a fixed amount, and you prioritize what you can inspect in that fixed amount. Maybe you add 2 days or a day at the end for inspection and rework, or 3 or 4 days. Or you decide that you allocate time for the size of the document, so the whole thing gets inspected. So you could either sample and have a fixed amount of time to inspect with, or you could decide to do 100%, knowing how big the document's going to be and how much time it's going to take to do 100%. So one of the problems you often get into is if you don't publicly declare a number or an estimate that has everything in it, you have set expectations and then not had time to do the activities you need to do. So before you go live with your numbers and estimates, making sure there is time allocated for that activity. Now, if you do that, appreciate at the end how much you saved. Recognize the defects you found by adding inspection, and recognize the amount of the reduced rework you had after delivering the artifact. So maybe in the past you submitted code to a QA function and spent 3 weeks testing it or getting tested and then dealing with the rework and bugs afterwards. But now you cleaned up the code before you submitted to QA, or cleaned up the requirement spec before you submitted to the next phase, and there are many fewer fewer defects to go work on, and the rework time has gone down altogether. So make a note of that, because you want to recognize that and maybe publish that or communicate that next time you add time for an inspection. It wasn't just an additional step that padded the schedule. It was really a way to save time overall for the team and the company downstream. But that may not be well understood unless you go out of your way to capture that information and share that. Number five, you probably have rework time already allocated in your project. You may have 20% or 30% of time already planned in per resource for rework and problems. So all you're doing now is maybe using some of that time for inspection. Let's suppose that you have 30% on average that you allocate, or your team allocates, for doing rework. The funny thing about that time is that almost nobody ever gets permission to do rework. They're going to do rework. So maybe it's 30% or 20% or 50%. Take 5% of that and then distribute that or use that earlier for inspection. So take some of the time now. You're not moving out of the deadline. You're just going to reallocating the rework time. And then see if you can find defects at a much quicker rate earlier on, and have the rework time in actual fact be less when you submit that work to the next phase. So all we're doing here is basically recognizing that our rework time allocated could be less, and we're going to reuse that earlier on and get the final amount to be less over time. This is more of a long-term approach to basically set a goal to say our rework is 30% now, but it could be 20%. And by doing these series of inspections and actually using some of the currently allocated time for rework, do the inspections, and then long-term get the rework total amount down to 20% or even 15% or less. Number six, you could look at the overall project and then redistribute some of that time. For example, maybe you're the leader or the manager of the group, and you recognize there is 2 months allocated for testing and QA and checking out of the work at the end, but all QA is doing is finding defects, and inspection is doing the same thing. So I've actually known teams to take their test engineers, the QA people, and actually make them moderators for inspection. So they're still performing the same function, just in an earlier phase. Maybe they help moderate inspections of requirements documents, so they have cleaner requirements going into the test planning phase. Maybe they take a user guide and they inspect that before manufacturing. Again, there's a QA phase allocated to check out the final product, but they're taking some of that time for QA and using that earlier to find defects. So without adding more time to the schedule, they're figuring out ways to reallocate the time for the same function, but do it in an earlier and quicker way in the schedule. So bit by bit, they start to recognize the work going into the next phase is cleaner and has less problems, and therefore the overall time required for that next phase is less. So this is careful juggling of time and making sure we rebalance our allocation to get the same result and overall quicker time. Because if we can find defects at a faster rate and prove that, then we should be using some of that later time earlier in the project. So there's six ways you can consider for allocating time for inspection. No one by itself is going to be a silver bullet. What you have to do is think through and use them incrementally, maybe in combinations. And I would recommend starting small. Start with allocating time for one or two artifacts, one or two areas of the code base, and then learn from that, and then kind of reuse the ideas downstream. So careful work and planning inspection into the schedule in a non-destructive kind of way will be your best bet. The worst thing you can do is say, I want to do 24 weeks of inspection, and then make a request to add all that time to the schedule. That would be a no sales from the beginning. Nobody's going to buy into that. But what you can do is select and assess risk and allocate time based upon risk and the need of the team. I hope you enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or comments, please use the question and comment box below. If you are interested in viewing my other shows, just search on the GoGo Radio archive for Neil Potter, P-O-T-T-E-R. If there is a show you would like me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thanks for your time today, and remember to tune in to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.